Let's begin our discussion. We know the Rama tells us that there is a minhag of having milchiks, having a dairy meal on Shavuos. Works out for some people more than others. But dairy often means fish. Often means fish, lav dafka, but sometimes means fish. But obviously cheesecake and the like, and all the varts are about milk and not fish. But we're not going to talk about the hashkafa and the messages behind it. But we're going to talk about something we never talked about before, and that is some halachas relating to fish and the kashrus of fish. And hopefully the second half we'll get into a very lamaisa discussion, at least according to some, and that is fish and meat. As we know, that also has to do with the kashrus of fish. So let's start off. The Torah tells us, Ezet Pasha Shmini, that which fish do you eat? There are simanim on a fish. There are simanim. There are simanim on behemos. There are simanim on dugim. There are no simanim on ophos. Ophos are just a list of birds, as we'll see. But Ezet Tochlu, source number one, Mikol Asher Amayim. What are you allowed to eat? Kol Asher Los Napir Vekaskeses. Skin, scales and fins. Or whatever has scales and fins, those you're allowed to eat. Those who does not have fins and scales, so then one is not allowed to eat. Those are the simanim, easy, fins and scales. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nida, and it's amazing how the Baalei HaMishnah can say such a thing. I always find it inspiring. Right? The Torah tells us there's only one animal that has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud. Right? If that's not a raya of a divine author, then what is? Like, how could you go on out there and out on a limb and say, this is the only animal, right? The pig. Maybe there's some, you're going to find some animal out there in the middle of the Amazon that, they're discovering new species of everything all the time. But Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. So what does the Mishnah say here? You know how many species of fish there are? Not in the thousands, in the millions. In the millions, the numbers of different types. And yet the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nida, there's no fish in the world with a certain feature. And it's not like a tiny little detail. Right? If a fish has scales, it definitely has fins. There is no fish in the world that has scales without fins. And some have fins and no scales. That's the Mishnah. Fine. That whole parak is about different two elements on an item. Ask the Gemara. Okay, so every fish that has scales has fins. And if there are some fish that have fins and no scales, so why are there two simanim in the Torah? Just say 1-7. Scales. You need scales, and every fish that has scales has fins. So just say scales. Says the Gemara, a very cryptic line, Lahagdil Torah Lahadir. What does that mean? Lahagdil Torah, to make the Torah bigger, to have an extra word. Lahagdil Torah, to make the Torah great. Why does that make the Torah great? That's a good kasha. But I once heard an amazing vart, and this is just, this is the machshavat part of the shir, these 2 minutes. But it's I used this thought at my son's bar mitzvah, which was Parsha Shmini, a couple of years ago. And that is, I think it's from one of the Gera Rebbe's. What is the message of skins, fins, and scales? What is the message? Scales represent the protection of the fish. It's the armor of the fish, the shiryon. The armor of the fish are the scales. Fins, what helps the fish move. Right? Goes back and forth, and the fish moves. Life's not just about protecting where you are. Life's about going forward and swimming forward. The Torah doesn't just say scales. I'm protected, I'm who I am, I'm good. No. The Torah goes out of its way to say, no, you need fins. You got to live a fins life, not a scales life. You got to have fins, keep going forward. Don't just stay where you are. And that's what the Torah goes out of its way, even though if there's scales, it's automatically fins. Lahagdil Torah lahadir. And I saw that in the Sefer called Yagdil Torah, the name of one of the Gera Rebbe's. Anyway, so that's the, these are the signs of a fish. Good. Animals have simanim. All birds are kosher unless they are on the list of non-kosher birds. The Shulchan Aruch discusses that there are some simanim on birds, but there is a this is a big issue, not our issue now. There's a concept of misora based on a Rashi and Maseches Chulin. You need a misora. If you don't have a misora about a bird, even though it's not listed on the non-kosher bird list, still you shouldn't eat it. That's a big discussion of turkey in some places. But fish don't need a misora. Generally, that's not really related here. Fish is, you know, if it's kosher, it's kosher. If it has fins and scales, you can eat it. How do you define scales? The Rama writes in Yarideya, in source number 3, scales means they are peelable. They are peelable. Now that shows that it's not really part of the skin. It's an extra layer. Right? The Rama says, V'davka shem niklafim biyad o bekli. O aval im ef shel kalfan me or hadag, lo mikri kaskeses, is not called scales. Good. Most of us aren't commonly going fishing and trying to figure out if this is a kosher fish or not. So we go to the store and buy fish. Question is, could I go to the store and buy skinned fish? If it has a hechsher on it, fine. But what if it doesn't have a hechsher on it? Can I go? So the Rambam tells us, interesting, 4 mitzvahs in the Rambam. We're just going to want to do the fish one. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah asay to check for simani tara. He says that by behemos and by dagim and by ophos and by chagavim. He counts 4 separate mitzvahs asay to check for kosher signs. Right, that's the Rambam in Kufnun and Beis. I just give you the one relating to us. Shetzivano livdok besimani dagim. It's a mitzvah asay to check. Vim ksuvim batara. And what are they? Ksuvim batara. They are in the Torah. Check for the kosher signs. So if you buy a filleted piece, you go into a store and you just buy a piece of fish that's already been cut up, you obviously can't check. So is that a din li'ikuva? That somebody has to, you have to check for kosher signs, or is that just to make sure it's kosher? Make sure it's kosher. So the Achronim assume that it's the latter. It can't be a positive mitzvah to check for kosher signs. Number one, as I just mentioned, the Rambam counts 4 mitzvahs asay, including checking the kosher signs of birds. There are no kosher signs of birds. So what's the mitzvahs asay? So obviously it means just make sure it's kosher. No signs to check. The Rabbanan gives certain simanim midrabbanan of birds, but really midaraisa there are none. Number one. Number two, the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah on Daf Lamites that sometimes a fish can be kosher even if it doesn't have scales now, but it's going to grow scales in the future. And if you know it's going to grow scales, then it's okay. Right? Asid legadel la'achar zman. Like these certain types of fish. So, again, how could that be kosher? You can't check. They're not here. They're also legadel la'achar zman. So we assume that just yediya is enough. There's no mitzvahs asay. If you want to be machmir, right? How do you do that mitzvah nowadays? You go to the store and you make sure there's a kosher sign on it, or the kosher list. That's a partial kiyum, maybe. But either way, lamaisa, it seems to be just, it's an isser asay, to make sure that things are kosher before you eat it. But what happens, maybe there are some people out there that even though you don't have to check, but maybe there's some people that want to, you know, they'll sell you a piece of fish. They'll say it's salmon. Are you allowed to go into a store, not a kosher store, just buy a piece of fish? Now to do that, does it need a hechsher? What about salmon? If there's a piece of fish that you have no idea what type of fish it is, and they tell you it's a type of fish, and there's no identifying mark, then somebody who doesn't have nemanus doesn't have nemanus. But what if it's a type of fish that looks like that fish, and this is one of the only fish that look like that? So they say b'shem Rav Moshe. Rav Shachter also says this for the, obviously the Rav of the OU. Salmon and red trout have pink flesh, and they're the only fish like that in the world. And therefore, if you get a piece like that, and they are caught ready filleted, no non-kosher fish have that color. And even if someone tries to artificially feed the fish something pink before, it doesn't go into the flesh. It'll go into like extremities of the fish. And therefore, the OU policy and the other hechsher policies are, if it's that kind of fish, like salmon, so then it is mutter, because that's the only fish, only kosher fish look like that. And the only chumra everybody says, oh, what about the knife? They didn't wash off the knife. Often, they only make salmon in the salmon place. If somebody's nervous about the what was on the knife, l'chumra, you want to rinse it off, but again, that's an extra chumra. That's in terms of, again, the kosher signs and buying filleted fish from a store. What about, this was a big controversy a couple of years ago, tuna. Tuna fish was created for Shalosh Shodes. And I think that's the that's when the minhag olam is to have tuna. Right? What else would you eat at Shalosh Shodes? Suda shlishit. You know, it's tuna. But what's the shaila? When you get tuna, it's not, you can't see what fish it was. It's just mush. It's just cut up. Right? So how do you, that's even before you get to the mayonnaise. But so how do you know? There's no mashgiach on the boat. Maybe some non-kosher fish. They have these huge nets and thousands of fish. Maybe some non-kosher fish got in there, got into the mix. What's called in the official term, bycatch. You know, like bystanders, bycatch. You know, how do I know? So again, this was a big discussion a number of years ago. Rabbi Tendler was famous in a number of years ago. Yeah, you got to be choshesh. You got to have a mashgiach there. Maybe there's some dolphin in there. Maybe there's something else in there. And he was very machmir and others about this. But most are makel. Why? So there is a Ramah. The Ramah in Yeridea, source number 7. Ramah in Yeridea tells us kirvei dagim in first the Shulchan Aruch. Kirvei dagim in nimchem elam in amumcha. Innards of fish. That basically means you can't tell it's a fish anymore. It's like crushed up innards of fish. You can only buy from an expert, Ella Im Kain, Omer Lo Yisrael, unless a Jew tells you, and the Ramah adds in, or a non-Jew. Hamochram, ani malachtim otiz midaktar. Right? They're kosher. They're kosher. So the Ramah says, he adds in, that, you know, you can trust a goy for kirbei dagim. And the Achronim wonder, the Shach wonders, how can you trust a non-Jew that this is kosher? He tells you, there's only tuna in here. Mashba Midvarev says the Shach, da filu bekir ve'dagim, v'ubre dagim, sheni mochu, that were liquefied and crushed, mahani, k'shomar avdekachav, ani malachtim, potzigim edarkim moshev, v'tamu amod. What's he talking about? How is it possible that we would trust? But Ramah seems to trust. Why? We have a principle here and in other areas of halacha. Uman lo mara umnase. An expert does not want to ruin his reputation. And especially if it's something that could get out, that could come out, that's a pretty strong chazaka. Right? Did we discuss Hilchos Yichud earlier this year?
Last year.
So last year, that means we have to do it again next year. Yichud, Negiya, Kalisha, all of those, that'll be next year. Be'ez Hashem. But Yichud, a taxi driver at night driving a woman, so the case was Rav Moshe, she has to go to the mikvah and the husband has to stay home because of the other kids. And she let it go. So part of it is uman lo maram nase. Professionals, you know, if you have a medical professional that's seeing somebody of the opposite gender, you know, in a room. So l'chadchila, leave the door unlocked, but you know nobody's coming in. So uman lo maram nase. So here too, that's where the Ramah seems to be based on. And the OU policy is that on the boat, the fishermen only want the tuna. And if they see anything else, they're going to throw it back in. They're going to try to take it out. And they do another filtering process in the factory. And the OU has done many, many, many random checks, and they've never found the problem. And therefore, uman lo mara amnase, and they're even going in the opposite direction. And therefore, it is okay. Again, if it's tuna in oil, you got to have the kashrus of the oil. Right, if there's any process in any other way, but just the tuna itself, that is. What? No, you have to know what it's in. You have to know the processing. You know what I'm saying? But just the tuna itself, you don't have to be worried about other fish in there. And even if, let's add in one more point, yeah? Even if tiny, tiny kosher little pieces might get in, there's a huge rove against it. There's a huge rove against it. But one might say, but one second. But isn't the whole purpose of checking, some achronim say, well, maybe there shouldn't be a rove, bittel barov, because, or bittel b'shishim, because the whole point, the Rambam holds, that it's a mitzvah bedika, you have to check. You have to check what you have. So maybe there's no, this is not just something happens to fall in. Maybe the whole point of bedika samamonim is not to rely on the rove. But the answer seems to be that this isn't just a bittul baro, bittul b'shishin. This is bittul b'thousands. And there are different levels of rov. There are different levels of rov. There's a, Rav Shachter likes to point out that there are five types of rov in halacha. Five types of rov. One type of rov is 51%. 51%, that's a weak rov. That's a rov garua. That's a weak rov. Doesn't help you too much. I guess if it helps you if you need a minion and you have six people that didn't daven. Right, that could help you. Right, you could have six to daven. But then the next rove, let's say more than that, like till up till 90%, right? 70 to 90%. That's a rove bari. That's a strong rove. That's a rove that beats a chazaka. But the miyud is still there. You have more than 10% or more. Rav Meir, we know yivamis choshish lemiyuta. So that's a strong rove, but there's still some miyud. Next, then there's over 90%, where there's not even a miyud hamatsui. Less than 10%. Right, so there for that, let's say you wouldn't have to check 95% of suits, you know, don't have shanas, you don't have to check it. Because it's not even a miyad hamatsui. Not even a miyad hamatsui. Keep going up. 99%. Miuta de miuta. Right, even Reb Meir wouldn't be choshesh for this. There's Reb Akiva Eiger that says we'd be motzi mamon based on that, even if it's 1%. Be motzi mamon. That's good enough. And then you have the final one, Echad Mina Elef. It's even more than 99%. It's just Echad Mina Elef, and that could even be Mekel Mishum Pikuach Nefesh in that type of circumstance. Right? The Chassam Sofer has this Shuva. This was a discussion back in the 1800s. There was a certain area where they made a Gzera that you weren't allowed to bury anybody for 3 days after they died. Because there were stories of somebody being buried, and then they woke up, and they didn't have such great science then to tell somebody who was dead. So just to be safe, they made a rule, right? 3 days. It's a halanas hames. What are you supposed to do? How can you? So he has a tshuva about whether a kohen is allowed to go in and check. Sharofe kohen. Interesting. How the kohen become a doctor, but a rofe kohen in the Chassam Sofer, and he says. So Chassam Sofer says, it's Echad Me Elef that wake up after they're buried. Come on. They're dead. Kohen can't go in. You know, when I'm... So it's like, what is that? It's like a Choni Hamagel, sleep for 70 years, he says. He says, I don't think this is a possibility. Okay, so therefore there is, you assume it's not an issue. What about a bishul akum issue? That's a separate issue. Bishul akum by the tuna is cooked. So there are definitely kulas regarding that too. Maybe it's, especially nowadays in the days of sushi, nechal kamoshi huchai. We discussed bishul akum earlier this year, right? It could be in raw. Maybe if it's in a can, it's not considered olal shulchan malachim. That because they're a fancy food, you need either of those to, you have to be machmer in both of those areas in order for it to be a problem of bishul akum. The Rivos Ephraim, Ephraim Greenblatt quotes Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that maybe factories, you know, you wouldn't apply bishul akum in a factory. It's even better than the local baker. Well, we know there's something called paspalter, which is a baker that if he makes for the community. But this is even better because you don't even know who did it? Then nobody knows who did it. Then who pressed the button on the other side? So there are definitely kulas regarding this. But again, that's why the Minhag Olam and the Minhag of Kashrus organizations is to rely on all of these factors for tuna. But again, fish is, out of all of the areas of food, you know, as compared to meat, as compared to milk, fish is more straightforward, seems to be. Again, there's millions of questions that might come up, different types of fish. But in general, the basic rules are pretty straightforward. What's lamaisa for many is, what about the issue of fish and meat? Fish and meat. So where does this come from, the fish and meat? Why do we have two forks? It just causes more dishes to wash. Where did that come from? So look in the middle of page 3. Comes from a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, Adaf Ayin Vav Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, "Hay benasa titavya bahadi bisra." If there's a certain type of fish, benata is a fish. that was roasted bahade bisra with meat. Rashi says batanar echad, right, in the same oven, open. Asra Rava miparzikia lemechla bekutcha. Rava said you can't eat that with milk. Kutach is something milchik, so something that was cooked in the same oven, so can't be eaten because we assume that's called recha. The aroma of the milk goes into the fish, and now the fish is milchik, and therefore, I'm sorry, the aroma of the meat goes into the fish is fleshik, and therefore you cannot eat it with milk. Fish narrowly is parif, right? Fish is parif. Meat is fleshik, right? Interesting that eggs are parif too. An egg, you think about it, it comes from inside a chicken, which is Rabbanan, but it's parif, like, question about when you the Gemara basically talks about it, if you open the chicken and it's there. But anyway, Rava says it's considered fleishik. You can't eat it with milk. Mar bar Avashi Amar filu b'milk hanami asura. You can't eat it with salt. You can't eat it. Period. If it was fish cooked in an oven with meat, why? Mishum dekashi l'reichol davar acher, because it's going to make you sick. It's dangerous. Rashi says saras. It's dangerous having fish and meat cooked in the same oven. And this is quoted lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, source 14. Tzorach lizor shalalecha basav dog biyachad. You can't eat them together. This is already a little extension. Not only if it was cooked in the same oven, but you can't eat them together. But it's shakashal atzaras. V'cheinin litzlos basar imdag mishum recha. V'yu b'di'evad eino osir. It's not osir b'di'evad. So again, this is something that we don't really understand today. The type of danger. We don't know of any danger. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, well, nowadays we don't have to do it. Even though in the sif right beforehand, the Shulchan Aruch quoted the halacha of mayim gluyim about water being left overnight open, and you're worried in the days of the Gemara about a snake coming by and drinking a little bit and dropping off some venom, and the Shulchan Aruch says, well, b'zman hazeh, there are no snakes putting venom into the water, and therefore you can be mekel. And the Shulchan Aruch does not say that on this. So many are medayik that even though we don't understand it, we're makpid. We're makpid at least on a basic level. We don't treat it like milk and meat, but we treat it like fish and meat. And therefore, the minhag of Klal Yisrael generally is to uphold this halacha in a certain sense. And again, we don't have the right to just do two things. Number one, it's a din d'rabbanan now. It's a din d'rabbanan. Again, there are poskim that are more mekel because they treat it like the mayim gluyim. But again, most I think hold of it still. It's not quoted in the Rambam, and that's a mystery. Some say, oh, you see the Rambam. Rambam knew it wasn't dangerous in his day, and therefore he didn't quote it. The Rambam, the Chassam Sofer discusses that, why the Rambam didn't quote it, right? Maybe the Gemara was only concerned with one type of fish, right? Maybe the Rambam holds Nishtanu Ativim, right? Yosef Nir on the top, Lufi Otsim Chachmaso, in his great wisdom, Yada Vehevish Nishtanu Ativim, Binyinzeh, things have changed. Okay, but either way, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. So, what needs to be done? So we're makpid not to cook them together. That's for sure. To cook fish and meat in the same oven open, we're makpid for that. Covered, you could cook anything covered. Right, as long as things are covered tightly, you could cook milchiks and fleishiks in the same oven. Not a good idea, but technically it's good. We don't use the same grill for fish and meat. Right? Some people have a separate rack for their fish. You got to clean it well because there's always a lot of gook on a barbecue. But again, we don't cook it together. So what about eating it? So what do you have to do in between? So says the Shulchan Aruch, Yirchot yada bein basal adag, you have to wash your hands, v'yocha pashori bein tayim, and eat some soaked bread. K'deilirchot piv. Basically means you need the residue off your hands and you need the residue out of your mouth. Maybe you don't have to worry about it when it's cooked together. But some say, right, the only issue is like what the Gemara says, when they're in the same oven. But if they're eating it one after another, maybe it's not a problem. You should do something in between. That is what the Shulchan Aruch says to do, and that is what generally we do. That's why also in terms of even caterers, when they set up kiddushes, right, they generally do not, they know. They don't put the herring right next to the meat, right, or next to the challen. They put it on a separate table, and usually it's with the drinks, right? So it's not just convenience, but it's like, you have a piece of herring, take a drink, right? If you want to have challen afterwards. So that is what we try to do. Okay, so we said before, right, not in the oven at the same time. Lamaisa, what about if it was cooked in the oven? What if it was cooked in, you know, it got recha? So what do we paskin by this case? So we paskin by iser v'heter, let's say by meat and milk. We paskin recha milsa lachatchila, that you should not cook. Let's say I cooked chicken and, I don't know what else, something milchik, but that's a solid. Something milchik solid. Pizza? Is pizza solid? I guess it's a solid. Yeah, I put a slice of pizza and a piece of chicken in the oven together. And I cooked it together. So you would say, throw it out! It's recha. Recha milsa lachachila. You should not do that. But b'dievet, if they didn't touch and there's no liquid, that's zeya. We're not talking about zeya. There are some that might say that our ovens are small. But let's assume, conceptually, recha, where there's no liquid, we pass a recha mosla chachila, but the evidence is okay. There's no transfer. So the question is, what about here? What about here? So it's fascinating. Three different opinions. The Rama seems to say this is the same thing, right? It's just like other isurim. The Aruch HaShulchan also supports this. Just like other isurim, and therefore recha mosla chachila, and one shouldn't do it. But you know, if you did it, you could still eat the food. The Marshal, the Shach quotes the Marshal. In 19, it says no, right? Even lechadchila, it's okay. Just don't eat it together. Don't roast it. See the marshal on the third line. Marshal ubesifro perikad anasha kaza the mutul lusos dogim and baser batana rechad afilu lechadchila. This is more mekel than other isurim. The ain bo mishum recha milsal in yisakana. Why the davka kishet solin osam mechubarim zeitzol zeaser? What was the gemara talking about when they were roasted right next to each other and they obviously got all over each other? That's what it was talking about. So that's the marshal. This is more makel than other cases. Regular recha would be even good lachachila. Even good lachachila, you could cook them in the same oven if they're not next to each other. And then he quotes, the Shah quotes the Be'er Sheva, the Savior Be'er Sheva, who says the opposite. We're talking about sakana here, not just iser. Sakana had to be even more machmir. Even if they're separate from each other. And he continues. So again, we generally aren't cooking them together, but it seems like if it was done, one does not need to throw it out. There's enough basis to eat the food if it was done. Utensils, yeah, generally we have separate forks, separate utensil. You're worried about residue. What about kalim? So the Shulchan Aruch does not mention any you type.
Can't,
what?
You can't use one.
You should wipe it.
Yeah.
Wipe it, rinse it. If it's in your mouth, then you're just getting the stuff back on it. So I guess if you wipe it, it's okay. Wipe it, or you don't have to like get kosher it. You don't have to have. You could use your. You know, if you use your fish fork 5 minutes ago and you rinse it, for sure, you don't have to have separate fish. They're called fish forks in the Jewish home. But I think, you know, as long as it's clean, I think it's okay. What about kalim? About cooking? What about cooking? So that's not mentioned again in the Shulchan Aruch. No mention of requirements. Some people are makpid to have a separate, like only cooking fish, like gefilte fish. Let's see, only cooking that in a parv pot. Right, if it's especially if it's not ben yomo, you know, to use the others again, it's not 100% clear that one would need to have a separate pot. The minhag of many is to have a separate pot, meaning to only use a power of pot. But if one needs to, it seems like it is okay. Does bittel apply? Fish in meat. Where does this come up? Fish in meat. There's something called Worcester sauce. Can you put a Worcestershire? I'm not a fish guy, but if there's a little bit of fish in something, is there bittul regarding eating it? So Worcestershire sauce, or there are those that, and I don't know if you have this in other countries. In America, you have Tropicana, like five different flavors. There's Tropicana pulp. There's Tropicana. Got the other calcium. Tropicana orange juice. Orange juice, calcium, and pulp, and fish. And fish. Right? OU fish. It says on it. So you have a little bit of, like, I don't know who would want that. But I think it's so it has some stuff in it. So are you allowed to have that at a fleishig meal? Like what's the is there bittul when it comes to fish? This again is a machlokas. The Taz says I gave it to you in source 20. The Taz says no bittul, right? Bittul is for tam, but for sakana, poison's poison. And therefore, it says the Taz, quotes the whole story with the Maharil, that bittul only is a taste neutralizer, and even a big barrel of water became nesar because of the sakana. So that's the Taz on the one hand. The Nekudas HaKesef, that's the Shach, comments on the Taz, says, no, you got the story wrong. No, Chamira Sakanta is only in the case of Safek, not in the case of bittul, if you're not sure about something. The Lidner Delo Kashamidi, says the Shach. The Shani Zira, the Nachash, the Mikla Kali Tuva. And they got the story wrong. The Lomachrina Besakanda Tvemi Bisura El Besveka. We have a suffix about something, okay. Aval Hecha Dikash, the Shamba, Shinisbata Bavade, Lomastava Klala Chalik, Benisurla Sakanta. I think Bittul would be okay. The Shevet Alevi writes, the Minug is Lahakel. So again, the OU policy, if you look on their site, is less than 1.67%. Less than that, they'll just say OU. More than 1.67%, it says OU fish. And so there is bittul; they rely on that shach, but that's the shita. Yeah.
Is there an issue with being mevatel chachila though?
There's a concept of mevatel chachila by yisurim. This isn't really an isser. Not really an isser. Yeah.
So does that mean that if you have some of those fish, like 152% fish, whatever, and then you put it on some meat, well, now...
Do they combine for the mevatel? Yeah, I don't know, just, I think they're assuming not. They're assuming that it has to be, you know, nisbatel in the sauce itself before you get to anything else. But again, it could come up if something dripped, the fish sauce dripped somewhere into something, so there is a bittul. This is all Ashkenazic custom. There is a chumra of the Sfardim. Right? Chumra of the Sfardim, fish and milk. That's not in Shas anywhere. And that's not in the Rishonim, really. Maybe Rav Avadia found many Rishonim. But generally, actually, I should say, it's in the Beis Yosef has it. It starts a little bit, but it's not, he didn't put it in the Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef did not put it in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Rav Avadia in Source 23 discusses it. Right, if anybody has ever had a lox and cream cheese bagel, right, Rav Avadia would say that's usher to eat. Why? Or tuna casserole, right? That's tuna and noodles and cheese. That's this issue. Fish and milk. So Rav Avadia quotes it, Source 23. It's amazing the rules. He didn't put in Shulchan Aruch. So, isn't that doesn't that tell you something? But maybe not. Right? Dagam b'chalav mutalach b'chalav v'zul l'shono b'chol makom ein lecho dagam b'chalav b'nei asakana. K'moshin esbar b'arachayim simen kufay and gimel v'chin kasev alavush. Rama darkei Moshe kadal alzev alor reisi miyamay nesaram bazeh. I didn't see anybody makpid about this. V'chein heir aprisha ishlo chiyach lati b'gemara. But the Gemara talks about that it's mutter v'chein kasev ashav v'chein kasev. It's all mutter v'taz tos sofer. The Taz says even if it might be a mistake in the Beis Yosef, right? Because where do we get this from? Lamaisa Rav Avadia says the Beis Yosef has it. So that's why many in the Sephardic custom have a minug of not to have fish and milk either. But if they have the minug, They have what to rely on. You know, they have more than what to rely on. But either way, this is the discussions of fish itself, and fish and meat, and fish and milk. Any other questions? Any fish? Die, just to end with this, maybe that there is an idea. Doesn't mean you have to. I could talk about it. Something I like to talk about, even though I actually won't do it. I'm not such a fish guy. But I remember I grew up in a shtiepel in Far Rockaway. So one time I ate over at the Rebbe's house. I was invited to eat at the Rebbe's house. So you go there on Friday night, and you go there, and first you learn for an hour. He doesn't eat for an hour. There's a couple of sikkasim. It depends on the time of year. Also, there's a certain hour that you shouldn't be making kiddush, based on where the constellations are. Okay, after now you come. Okay, besamim, and then kiddush, and then hamotzi, and then you're talking about fish. I mean, this is something. But it's funny, I also interesting fish, the best fish don't taste like fish. Right? So, this is really fishy, it's not so good. It's one of the only things that, you know, the best ones don't taste like what it is. But either way, he puts the fish in front of me, I said, no, thank you. He like mamish wanted to check my yichus right there. I'm like what? What do you mean? Busa v'dogim. I said, Busser. but either way, some of the Baalei Machshava say that almost everything having to do with Shabbos is Gematria 7 in some way. Dag is 4 and 3 is 7. Yayin is 52, 5 and 2 is 7. Marak, I'm telling you, it keeps going. There are many of them. Marak, right, is 40. Reish, 240.
That's
340,
some digits 7.
Right, some of the digits to 7. So a lot of the, because that's what Shabbos is about. There's a lot there. But again, either way, this is something that, a separate topic which we didn't get into, and that is, what about the concept of Ein Simchel B'Basar, Ein Simchel B'Yayin, you know, what about having milchik meals or fish meals on Shabbos, you know, or on Yantiv, is that an issue of Simcha? Yeah, many poskim are makel to have, you know, on Yantiv especially, to whatever one enjoys, especially what about chicken as compared to beef also. But in any case, we'll stop here. Everybody should have a wonderful, amazing Yantif. Whatever I don't know what they're going to serve here, but whatever they serve here is good. Okay.